Welcome. You're listening to the very ever first episode of Weekly Disruption, Pacific Underground's all new weekly, where we go over some of the headlines that have made the news over the last week. We're here to disrupt headlines affecting API communities, and we're also here to highlight how other APIs are doing their own disruptions. So this week we're going to talk about stuff that happened in the news. We're going to go over a little about like the Democratic National Convention, and we're going to talk about like that woman who was attacked in New York and the overturning of Purvi Patel's conviction. But mainly we're going to talk about, because you're joined by your host today, I am Jenny Okuyama, and
I'm Tabitha Teo.
And if you've ever listened to Pacific Underground, you know that we're like the super nerds. Oh, here, I should like fade out that music a little bit. Here. That was Chops, by the way. Yay, Chops.
Thank you, Chops.
Our theme music. So we are what we like to call the nerds of Pacific Underground. So we're going to talk a lot about pop culture. Anyhow, this is our new weekly. We hope you guys enjoy it. We'll figure it out eventually. Anyhow, first thing that happened this week, Democratic National Convention. The exciting thing in API news is that KPAC, maybe is that how you pronounce it? Anyhow, it's the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus.
Woohoo!
Yay! They're all our representatives. Like, literally, they be representing. Like, they are representing
the Asians
us.
Asians in the Congress.
And they were invited for the first time ever to speak at the Democratic National Convention on stage. So that was exciting. You got to see the first Chinese American woman elected in Congress.
Woo-hoo.
The first openly gay POC in Congress, Mark Takano, who just like proudly called himself a Gaysian on stage. How cool was that? There was the first Filipino American voting member of Congress who also joined them, who's been in Congress since 1993.
Wow.
What's up, Bobby Scott from Virginia? Yeah. Oh, okay. Next story that we kind of have that's in the angry category. This Asian American woman, she was with her parents and she was attacked just like on a train while she was just like doing her day. And a Gothamist, if you want to read more about that story, they're the ones who reported on it. But apparently these two women just like went up to her while she was on the train and they started using Asian slurs like against her and then like literally just started beating her. The police are like looking for her. And, you know, what was really weird about the story is that these women were reportedly wearing like multicolored leis. And this happened to happen on the same day as the LGBT Pride Parade. And so people who went to the Pride Parade were wearing the rainbow leis. So
what?
It's like maybe they went and then
were they beating up LGBT folks?
This is the question. It's like, oh, God, what other things were like they doing while they were there? Oh, my gosh. Anyhow, so that BS happened. So we're just calling it out and saying, like, y'all, stop that. If you see that on the train, disrupt. The women got to run away. Don't let them run away.
If you know anything, please call the police,
I guess,
the NYPD.
So, I mean, if you trust them, that's a whole nother thing to
that
unpack.
Is,
anyhow,
this is true.
Purvi Patel, if people have been following her case, she had her conviction of feticide overturned.
Woo-hoo!
This week. Yay, by the Court of Appeals. She was, accused of, prosecutors said she used drugs to cause her to miscarry. And, you know, it whether or not that happened, like the there's so much, you know, argument over what really happened with her. It really, for the API community, so many advocates were just talking about, like, okay, you can't talk about her without talking about the lack of access that so many API women have to care, especially, like, OBGYN care, and to talk about just all the cultural stuff that comes into that.
Yeah, lots of cultural baggage. Yeah, access to health care. Who do you talk to if you are pregnant?
They were explaining about, like, literally about her, is that, and a lot of APIs feel this way. I'm sure there's a lot of cultures that, you know, if you're pregnant, you're not, and you're single, you are not going to go to your family and find support. I mean, there is a chance you might be disowned from your family and your community. And,
yeah.
Like, anyhow, so yay, Purvi. She's still going to be in prison.
But it's not for 20 years.
It's not for 20 years, but they did uphold a lower level felony for neglect, I think, of a child, for failing to provide care to the baby that they said had survived for just like 1 second, though.
Yeah. All honesty, we'll probably never know what happened.
Exactly.
But.
Well, I'm just glad that her case has gotten some visibility in the news. So that we can just at least, it highlights what's happening in our society, and maybe it'll get more public discussion around, like, what are these laws that around feticide and like, was that meant to go towards women that were pregnant? And what does that mean when you apply it towards people who might not have the same amount of access and care that everybody thinks they should have? You know, it's a ridiculous notion to think that there is equity in all of this. Yeah. So anyhow, let's move on to a little bit lighter of news that it's time to disrupt and to be a little bit angry about. Yay, lighter news. Let's first talk about a ninja.
Oh, God.
Okay. So, Tabitha, you did a little research about this. Let's talk about ninjas.
So, Jennifer Murphy is a former beauty queen pageant.
Here we go. Okay, here's the song. She brought out this song. She's from Oregon. She's from our home state of Oregon.
No.
Yeah. Here we go. Here it comes. Here comes the offensive part.
You know what? Maybe I too could be ninja. I want to be ninja.
Where did her grammar go?
I don't know, but I don't want her to be ninja. Oh my God, go away.
I
mean, like, why would you speak that way? Like,
I know.
I mean, like, you can't just go and adopt some accent because it's just Orientalism.
Yeah. I'm from Oregon, so this, like, offends me on an Oregonian level because she represented Oregon in the Miss America pageant in 2004. She's from Medford, Oregon. And in a way, I am not surprised, but at the same time, Oregon, I expect better of us. I expect that Oregonians, that we understand this shit and that we know that this is inappropriate and that... if you are not of a culture, then you shouldn't be trying to satire it.
Well, okay. As someone who is not from Oregon, I'm originally from California. I'm not like Tabitha. Tabitha grew up here in Oregon. I would just like to say that I didn't find this surprising. I found the initial thing was like, oh my gosh, why is this so offensive when you guys showed me the ninja song? I was like, what the hell? What the fuck is that? And then... Tabitha was like, well, you know, she's from Medford. Like, oh, well, that explains everything.
Yeah.
Because this is like, in case you're not up on the Oregon, Portland is known as the whitest, like, metropolitan city in America. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you live here, it's really apparent. The whiteness is very apparent. And there are, like, racist things that happen that aren't, like, super overtly racist, but
lots of microaggressions.
Yeah, lots of microaggressions, and where people think that saying stuff like that, like, oh, I'm a ninja, is like totally fine.
And outside of Oregon or Portland, Salem, and Eugene, the rest of Oregon is really rural, and there are not a whole lot of POC, much less APIs, in rural Oregon.
Okay, but here's the surprising part about the Jennifer Murphy story is that, okay, so this song was a promotional song that she's making for apparently a Murphy bed thing she's trying to do.
She's now an entrepreneur.
And so I'm not sure what being a ninja has to do with a
selling
Murphy
beds.
Bed. So we'll have to see, because she says that this is just a preview of the song. And she's made it okay that she did the song because why? Her Asian friend helped her write it.
Totally makes it okay. That's right? Sarcasm.
Because I have one Asian friend, I'm allowed to just be racist. Da-da-da-da-da. Ugh. Okay. What else is very Asian besides ninja? Are Tabitha?
Fucking dragons.
Dragons!
So, a trailer comes out called The Great Wall. It's a Chinese fantasy movie based on the premise that the Great Wall of China was not built to keep out Mongols. It was built to keep out fucking dragons. Yes, I'm totally behind this. And I watched the trailer like, oh my God, this looks amazing. And Matt Damon's face. And
can we talk about that? Jason Bourne is saving China
from fucking dragons.
Because Chinese people can't save themselves from dragons. Okay. And like, I want to just be like, oh my God, why do we need to have the white savior complex, blah, 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 and rant forever about this. But we have to, I think, put this in context of realizing that this is not a movie that was actually made for an American audience.
It has a Chinese director. It's a Chinese production. So it's not meant for an API audience. It's meant for a Chinese audience. Though in an interview with the director, asking him why did he cast Jason Bourne in a Chinese movie, he wants this movie to be like a Hollywood blockbuster, like a multi-million Hollywood blockbuster, your summer movie. And he said in order to be a Hollywood blockbuster, you have to cast a white guy. So...
And that's the same argument that was made for like Ghost in the Shell, you know, where they're saying like, hey, yeah, we want to like have this and we want to present this Asian story and we want to do all this stuff, but nobody will go see it on its
own. If there's an Asian person, no one's going to watch it.
But if we put Jason Bourne in with dragons, then we get Saving the Day. So, I mean, it just, to me, it just speaks more about what is the worldwide perception.
And internalized racism.
Well, internalized racism. Yeah, I mean, it's also complex. But, you know, when you want to have international appeal, and when they talk about international, they're not just talking about the United States. They're talking about having appeal in Europe, in Africa, and other parts of Asia. What you do is you choose whiteness. You know, you bring in whiteness into your story. And so that's really freaking obnoxious because, okay, even if they wanted to say have somebody who speaks English, are there not Chinese-American actors? Or why can't you just have a Chinese story stand on its own? Like, seriously.
Cast Jet Li.
I mean, I like Jason Bourne, kind of. I mean, it's if you want to see movies where just everybody dies, like, he's a lot of fun. Like,
I like the first two movies.
Okay, we just have, like, a couple more minutes here. So let's talk about a different actor who is actually API, who I'm going to talk total shit on, and I love at the same time, John Cho.
Yay!
Oh, God, reappropriate. Thank you so much for writing that article. So here you had that awesome, awesome, awesome John Cho interview by E. Alex Jung. And you're just like, oh, my God, this is so good. He's just saying, like, all the awesome things about, like, going to Korea for the first time in a long time and talking to his relatives and using a translator. You're just like, oh, my God. And he's pulling all sort of heartstrings and little tiny violins are going off in this interview. And then he said the same – what I have it here in the notes – John Cho, so that I can call you out here just like Reappropriate did. He's like talking about, he says, particularly Asian men, I feel we suffer more than Asian women because we're told we're not worth anything in general. Now, granted, I'm just saying the sentence totally out of context, but he said it. If you want to see the entirety of the interview and like the context of what I'm being angry about, go on Reappropriate. Freaking love that blog. It's so good, right? It's so good. But it's just that I think the point is that he is talking about the perception of Asian American men, you know, and how they're just not really given a lot of worth in our media, you know, in our mainstream media. They're never presented as sexy. They're always just the nerds.
Yeah.
You know, they're just presented as intelligent.
And very demasculated, too.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think he was trying to address that. But then he had to say that they suffer
less
more.
Than?
Yeah. And I just want to be like, oh, I'm sorry, John Cho. Have you ever had to walk down the street in a city and listen to all the fucking bullshit that comes at you as an Asian woman? Okay, wait. Here's Pamela. Pamela came into the room and she like has to say something. What's up? Pamela Santos joining us.
So without having to completely put my own self on blast being on online dating sites, not completely.
Just a little bit.
It's as if they also want the good problem, you know, the quotation marks good problem of having Asian American women get all of these messages. It's like, oh, everybody wants you.
But they're
on
compliments,
these
Pamela.
They're compliments.
You're so sexy. You're my beautiful Saigon
whore.
It's like
you want
like
you. People to like. Do you want the messages that say that they want to fuck your, like, little eyelids? Like, do you want the weird, like, truly weird shit?
That's the thing. Yeah, if you want to say that that's okay, that Asian women are being portrayed as being sexy and smart and whatever, well, you also have to be okay with all the other crap that goes with it. Exactly. So, you know, when you look up on the Twitters, hashtag feminist John Cho brought up all these awesome memes of John Cho saying all the awesome feminist things. Well, you know, the fake feminist John Cho. And then Reappropriate comes out with this, you know, response. It was pretty great. And so, you know, I don't want to call it disrupting racism in the sense that John Cho said this, but I just wanted to disrupt John Cho and just be like, I love you so much. Like, so much. I fangirl
you
selfie. So hard.
R.I.P. selfie. You know, we're there for you, man. Come on.
Yeah, dude.
Like, the API American women
we love you.
Are there for you.
Be there for us. That's all we gotta say. Okay, so wait, like we are totally running out of time. We got like a minute left or something like that. So let's talk about John Cho in a loving way.
Star Trek Beyond.
Our nerd. Okay, I didn't have time to go see it. So Tabitha, tell us about it. Was it everything you wanted it to be?
I love Star Trek Beyond. I highly recommend it. All the major cast members get like one moment to shine. And the moment that like Sulu gets a shine is so the Star Trek crew, they crash land on this planet. And they find, like, another, the Enterprise is beyond repair, but they find another crash-landed ship, and they just need to fix it up, and they can fly out of there. And John Cho is, I don't know why I keep calling him John Cho when it's Hikaru Sulu, but he takes the helm, they fix up the ship, and but he gets this awesome piloting moment when he flies the ship away, and, like, you're like, oh, are they gonna make it? And they make it, it's like, yay! He's a great helmsman.
Oh my God, you just ruined the whole movie for me, Tabitha.
I'm sorry.
Go Tabitha. Just
spoiler
kidding.
Spoiler alert.
Okay. So, well, oh, that's the outro music. So that means we have to stop talking. That's what it means. So you've been listening to Weekly Disruption, a weekly podcast by Pacific Underground. Join us next week where we'll talk about more happenings in the news. We'll dissect it. We'll get angry about it. We'll laugh at it. You know, we'll disrupt it. So, by the way, I'm your host, Jenny Yokoyama, for this week, and I'm joined here with...
Tabitha Teo.
And Pamela, shout out your names.
Pamela Santos.
Woohoo! So don't forget to subscribe to Pacific Underground's normal podcast on our radio show. You can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud at Pacific Underground. You can also check out our Facebook and Twitter at PAC Underground. And Pacific Underground is a production of KBOO Portland. A special thanks to Chops for our music this week. You can find his music on Tumblr at Chops Music. And as always, a great big slice of gratitude to Kathleen Stevenson, the queen of AM at KBOO, and to KBOO Community Radio for the studio space, love, and support. Thank you for listening. I guess that's the end of our music, so we'll catch you next week.